We have 66 tuning in this morning, and they are scattered about. They are in Washington, Iowa, North Carolina, Texas, Louisiana, Kansas, and Indiana. And so we're glad that you're all with us, and everyone here has joined us. I want to run through some announcements real quick before we start this morning. Joy boxes are due back today. If you've taken a joy box to fill, and if you have extra items, those might be helpful, so you're welcome to leave those as well outside the box. We are having an area-wide singing next Sunday night. Our Deacon of Fellowship, Darren Harris, has organized this for us, and we're looking forward to it. We've invited our brethren from around the Tulsa area to come and join us next Sunday night here. And I'm telling you now, we need all of us that we can get. We want this to be good. And if you, I don't know if you've gone to an area-wide singing, but it's hard to really get the entirety or even the majority of a neighboring congregation to come. So they won't come in, you know, busloads. They'll come in cars. But we need as many of us as we can have here next Sunday evening, 5 p.m. It's going to be a great time. Our church picnic is coming up October 9th. Remember that. And then Ladies Fall Retreat, the deadline to sign up for that is next Sunday. So remember that as well. All right, we're in this series on keeping in step with the Spirit. Today we're going to talk about gentleness. And so, you know, each Sunday in this series we're reminded I'm supposed to be walking with someone. If you've ever gone on a walk with someone in a neighborhood, you may already have a route planned out, but if you don't, you have to decide together where you're going to go. When you walk with the Spirit decides. And our Word tells us, the Word of God tells us what that looks like, and that's what we've been studying, these fruit of the Spirit. And so we want to walk with the Spirit. We want to walk in gentleness. This word in the Greek means things like mildness, meekness. In fact, the King James translates it meekness. Being considerate, being tender, humble, being mild. There was a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, Stephanie had come down with poison ivy, and at the last minute, and her helper, she was teaching the twos and threes on Wednesday nights. And the helper was unavailable that night, and so I got drafted to teach twos and threes on Wednesday night. Had Yvette there to help me. And we just had two wonderful souls that night. Annabelle, who is a lovely, lovely child. If you don't know Annabelle, she's precious. And then we had just the most wonderful boy in that class, Noah. If you've not met Noah, you really need to. And so I had those two, but I was really nervous about substituting because that children, if you don't know, little children are really not in my wheelhouse. I'm good with adults. And little children are a little stressful to me in that situation. So I was nervous about it. And Stephanie was giving me, you know, here, you can do this, you can do this. And so I had some tools in the toolbox, you know, for these children. But still, I was absolutely a fish out of water. So we started with puzzles. And puzzles are good for a while until, you know, one child wants the other puzzle that the other child has. Because they don't call them terrible two. It's twos and threes, but it's kind of terrible because at that age, everything is theirs. Everything belongs to them. So puzzles were good for a while. Then that we ran out of that. And then we got into coloring. So we did coloring some. I thought we have enough crayons, except one child wants the crayon that this child has. Doesn't matter. They have the exact same thing right here. They want that one. So coloring didn't go real well. Then we did animals. Same thing with that. And then I got this book, a flip that they have that has the flip page, right? Little flip things. And so we did that. They loved that. That was a big hit. They loved to do parts of that. And then they would race to see who could flip the next flap. And then they got to climb on the table. So the book, they had to race to the end of the book. But we're done with the book. You know, but God made everything. So I'm trying to teach as well. Then Stephanie sent me with baby dolls. And we got out the baby dolls. And we wrapped them up because they were cold. And then they needed to be burped, and so we burped the baby dolls, and then we fed. We had snacks, and then we started feeding the baby dolls. Baby dolls, they eat solid food at this age, and so we fed the baby dolls. But what I want to tell you is this class was, to me, it felt chaotic, okay? But it's just children. They're fine. They're doing great. It's me. But until I brought out the baby dolls, and it surprised me, it shocked me, that when I started talking about how you have to be gentle with a baby, and they had their babies, and they were being gentle, and you have to hold them carefully, and they get cold, so we want them to be warm, and we want to feed them. And everything we did with the babies, all of a sudden, they got quiet. Gentleness. You understand what gentleness is. And so Matthew 11:29 said, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We serve a God who is gentle. He's merciful. He's kind. He's patient. He's forgiving. When we read about these fruit of the Spirit, it's not that God's just saying, here's how you need to act right. God's saying, act like me. Every fruit of the Spirit, God showed us first. God was loving to us first. He was patient to us first. He was gentle to us first. Has God been gentle with you? How many times have you failed God? And does God forgive you? And does God bless you? And does God welcome you back? If you drift away and come back, God welcomes you back like the father of the prodigal son. God is gentle. In Isaiah 40, verse 11, if you want to flip to that, Isaiah 40, 11, this is written of God toward his people, and it's after captivity. If you remember what captivity is, the nation of Israel, God told them, if you'll walk with me and be faithful to me, I will bless you tremendously. But if you turn from me and you worship false gods, basically, if you are unfaithful to me, then I will turn from you. And God did that, and he did it twice, once with the northern nation after the division, and then with the southern nation. We call that captivity. And so after this is spoken regarding after captivity, God would still be the God of his people. And look at what it says about it. Verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. He will and gently lead those that are with young. He will gently lead. That's our God. God is a gentle God. And he's a gentle God after we've been beaten down with sin. And when we repent, we turn back to God. God is gentle. And the truth is, people need us to be gentle with them. Why do people need gentleness? Because people have been hurt. They've been failed. They've been embarrassed. And they may be afraid of being rejected. I don't know if you know it, but sometimes people struggle coming back to the flock because they don't know how the flock's going to receive them. The flock may reject me. What are they going to think when they see me walking through the door? That thought seems very foreign to me, but I've heard it too many times for it to be false. What would they think if they saw me coming through the door? Well, they need gentleness. Proverbs 15:4 says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Our words are powerful. Can you remember words spoken to you years ago that were positive? Someone spoke a positive word to you. Someone bragged on you, told you, good job. I'm proud of you. You did great. Isn't it amazing? Years can pass. I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, but I can remember words someone said to me years ago that were good. And the same is true for critical words. If someone said something harsh to you, it was rude. You don't forget it. You try to forget it, but it's still there. And what I'm saying is our words are powerful. They're powerful. So we're talking about showing gentleness to people. And when we talk about being gentle or showing gentleness, we're really talking about managing ourself. This passage says a gentle tongue. We need to have a gentle tongue. Well, that's easy when you feel like being gentle, but when you feel like being harsh, that's what this sermon's about. Being gentle. We're not talking about when it's easy. We're talking about when you want to be harsh. Someone has said the statement, they said, I just don't tolerate stupid very well. You know, I'm just not patient with people who act dumb. Well, they need to work on the fruit of gentleness. That's what Scripture is telling us. The Spirit, if you're stepping with the Spirit, you're going to tolerate foolishness better. You're going to be gentle with foolishness. It's not easy. You want to be harsh. But you have to manage. You're working on managing what's inside of you and let the Spirit lead what's inside of you. Look at Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And now this is about spoken words. They didn't communicate in writing so much at that time, but we do a lot now. And in text or in social media, things that are put out there, things that are, I'll use the word said, but really mean communicated because it might be in text. A soft response turns away wrath. A soft response. And when you text someone, by the way, if you've ever been texting and responding about something and you feel very frustrated, kind of like that statement, I don't tolerate foolishness well. But if you feel frustrated and you're responding to something and your mind is working, but really your emotions are running the show, you might feel angry or irritated or frustrated. And so what are you doing? You're texting someone back. That is the time to put the phone down. It's a time to step away from the computer. It's the worst time to message someone when you're frustrated. Wait till you calm down so that you can be gentle. James 3:17 says, the wisdom from above is pure, then peaceable. Peaceable, gentle, open to reason. Open to reason. How good are you at listening to people? Hearing what they think about something. Open to reason. Full of mercy, good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest. Let's stop there for a second. So we're talking about being gentle, and then we have this, and then James says a harvest. We're talking about a harvest. So what do those two have to do with each other? What does being gentle have to do with a harvest? Well, a harvest is about you sow seed, and then it grows, and then you reap it. It's a crop. And so you're doing something, hoping to gain something that comes much later. That's what a harvest is about. So gentleness, why are we being gentle with people? Well, because God said to. And why else? Why else are we being gentle? Well, because God's gentle. Why else? We're doing it so that a harvest of righteousness sown in peace can be reaped. It can be reaped someday. A harvest. We're talking about saving souls. We're talking about trying to help people go to heaven. And when you and I get mad at people and we respond in anger, we're not helping anyone go to heaven. We're pushing people away from heaven. In fact, there will be many in hell who are there because they got offended by a Christian and said, I don't want any part of that. They were foolish for doing that. But nevertheless, can you see the Christian in anger might have done something, said something, and look at the harvest. But we're trying to harvest souls for Christ. We're trying to help people go to heaven. That's why we have to be gentle even when we don't feel like being gentle. All right, I want to talk about kind of different situations where we need to be gentle and it can be difficult. So the first one is regarding authority. Titus 3 verse 1 says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities. Authorities. We're talking about parents and teachers and coaches and principals of a school. talking about law enforcement. Law enforcement. Isn't that right, Brady? Law enforcement. Submissive to law enforcement. Government. Government. As long as it doesn't oppose and violate God's word. We're to be submissive, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling. You ever heard it said about someone that they would argue with a stop sign? You know, sometimes arguing can be fun, and some people enjoy that fun quite a bit. But we're not to be about quarreling and arguing. We're to be gentle and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. What kind of courtesy? Perfect courtesy. Well, just how courteous are you talking, preacher? Perfect courtesy. Perfect. You ever smiled and talked real nice, but you said something real mean? That's not perfect courtesy. That's not perfect courtesy. You ever smile and said something that sounded real nice, but it was actually sarcastic? Not perfect courtesy. Or maybe so subtly sarcastic, maybe they wouldn't get it right away, but later they might. That's not perfect courtesy. We're talking about being gentle. We're trying to win people to Christ. We're trying to give Christianity a good name. That's what we're trying to do, because it's Christ. It reflects Christ. When someone is rude to you, what do you do? Someone's rude to you. They've crossed you. They've insulted you. They've done something rude. What do you do? We all know what we want to do, don't you? Don't you have within you that part of you that likes to strike back, that likes to return evil for evil? But God tells us don't return evil for evil. So we're talking about reining ourselves in, managing ourselves. And when we want to strike back or say something back or text something back, what do? Take some deep breaths, pray, sing a song like we just sang. Be gentle. All right, 1 Peter 3:15. This passage is about those that ask us, why are you a Christian? But notice the context of how they're asking. It says, in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. I've always thought of this as being a good scenario. A good-spirited scenario. In other words, someone says, you know, you seem to always be hopeful even when times are hard. How is it you can always be smiling? How is it you can always be cheerful? What is it that gives you hope anyway? But I'm not so sure that's the context here. Because, let's read on. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. It seems to be in a context where someone is, they're asking you, but they're not asking you nicely. Why is it you still believe in this mysterious big guy in the sky, this, you know? Why is it you still believe in that big genie, this fable, this book full of stories that really didn't happen? Why is it you believe in that? The fairy tales. Are you telling me you really believe that a snake talked to a woman? You really believe that a fish swallowed a man and then spit him out and that he lived? You really believe the sun stood still? You really believe all that? Even though science and evolution have proven how we got here, you really believe God made Adam and Eve out of dirt and out of his rib? You still believe that? I think that's the context that this is in. Be ready to answer that. How do we answer that? Well, we can answer it rudely and sarcastically and return evil for evil. And we can say things like, you really believe that we're all here and somehow there was a big bang from stuff that would just happen to be there, and how it got there you don't know, but that in some primordial soup, accidentally there became one single-celled amoeba that came into being, and it somehow figured out how to reproduce after it figured out how to live. and then it made more, and somehow that made more, and by accidental genetic mutations, those increased the DNA and the complexity of life until you add a whole bunch of years, and here you and I stand. You really believe that? Now, that those things might be true, but I'm not saying them in a respectful way, am I? I'm not saying them in a gentle way. And in the way I'm saying them, I'm probably not going to win anyone over. And so we have to be ready to return good for evil and to be able to give an answer and do it in a good way. I saw this on Facebook this week. You're always responsible for how you act, no matter how you feel. And that's what this topic is about today. How do you be gentle with people? Well, you don't feel like it. You need more of the Spirit. You need more of God. This is why we need more time together. We need more time in God's Word, because it's hard. Because you and I, we don't have this within us. We have rudeness within us. It's God that has the gentleness. I've got to get closer to God if I'm going to be able to answer people in a gentle way. All right, how about to people who oppose us? 2 Timothy 2:24, this is Paul writing to Timothy, who's a young minister. And he says, "The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness." Why? "Because God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. They may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will." Why are we gentle with people? Because God's trying to save them. He's trying to save them. And he needs our kindness. And so if we get angry, by the way, you remember James 1:20, "The anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God." God's trying to save people, and my anger is not helping. Because when I'm angry, if I talk or text, it's not good. It's not good. Even when I think it's good. You ever been angry and you thought, "Now this is solid. I'm not out of line here, okay? I'm just speaking the truth." And you send a message, and then you calm down and you read it, and you say, "Oh, that wasn't real good. It wasn't real good at all. I should not have sent that. I wish I hadn't sent that." Our anger is not helping us. And I remind you, in James 1:19, before it talks about anger being bad, it says, "Be slow to speak, be quick to hear, be slow to anger." Anger is like, I remember driving in the mountains once in Colorado, and they have these runoff areas where the semis, if they can't get stopped, they run off. I'd never seen that before. And driving up in the mountains, not, you know, really being familiar with it all, that got my attention. You have these steep grades that go downhill, and your brakes may overheat and not work, and you could die. And so what did I do? I slowed down. Took overdrive off so my car would help me slow down. Basically, I rode the brakes the entire way down because I knew speed is not good here. And this, when we get angry, we need the brakes on. We need the brakes on. If someone is wrong and you want to tell them they're wrong, and you want them to see that they're wrong. By the way, how quickly are you to see that you're wrong? It's hard to admit that you're wrong. Some people just about can't say the words, "I was wrong." And if you want someone to see that they're wrong, you have to approach them with gentleness. They'll never see it if you're acting angry. And then I want to hit this topic. How about with our spouses? 1 Peter 3:4. To ladies, it says, "Let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." It's talking about humility of ladies toward their husbands. Where is that precious? It's precious in God's sight. It's not precious in our society's sight. You're not going to hear it in a classroom. The teacher at a university is not going to teach about the preciousness of gentleness. You won't hear it. But God will. God will. And wives, when you're gentle to your husband, when you don't want to be gentle, that's when God is working through you. But likewise, notice Let's read a little further. Verse 7, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. What's that saying? Gentleness. You're physically stronger, and your heart is stronger in the sense of being crude or being mean. Oftentimes, a man is more capable of being hard-hearted. But be gentle. Be gentle. And so husbands and wives, we need to be gentle with each other. And then spiritually, sometimes people need correcting spiritually. Brothers, if anyone's caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. I remember a time I was a youth minister here and having trouble with some behavior in the youth group. And one of the individuals in the youth group, one of the teens was being particularly challenging with, cooperating as they should. And so I needed help with that. And Lee Smith was one of our elders at the time. And Lee had been a principal and had done a number of things, been a counselor. And so, but Lee Smith, if you remember Lee, he was a tough man, strong man, kind man, but he's strong and he could be strong. And so as an elder, I got his help dealing with this teenager, and we were going to have a meeting, and I thought this was going to be a come-to-Jesus meeting. And it kind of was, but I was expecting a real good old-fashioned come-to-Jesus meeting. And we got together, and Lee was going to do the talking, and so I just kind of got ready for some chewing out, and Lee did not do that at all. I mean, I got ready for someone to get an earful, and that did not happen. Lee showed kindness. He showed gentleness. He gave a pep talk. You're better than this, and you can do better. And I know you can. I know it's in you to do good, and we need you to do good. He talked him up. He built him up. And it showed me how elders need to be gentle when they're correcting. And I've seen that time and time again. I've seen our elders time and again correcting regarding the flock and doing it in gentleness. And then Ephesians 4, Paul says, I urge you, prisoners, for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another. This is people who get on your nerves. Bear with them. Be gentle with them. God knows they're annoying, right? They probably annoy God too. But he's gentle with them, and so we can be gentle with them. And then finally, 1 Timothy 6:11, Paul says, as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. So I leave you with this thought. Pursue gentleness. How do you do that? Pursue gentleness. You know, we need to know that this is how I'm supposed to act when times get hard, when I get upset, when I'm attacked, when I feel wronged, when I feel angry. How am I supposed to act? Gentle. I need to be real close to God to do that. Because Satan loves for us to act like we like to act. God is the one that's talking us down from the ledge. God is the one giving us the strength to do this in the Spirit. So we need to be closer to God, closer to the Spirit. We need to be pursuing gentleness. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And if there's a need that you have or something we can help you with, we would love to do that. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to take time to help someone become a Christian, be saved this morning. If there's anything we can help you with, please come while we stand and sing.
Out of my abundant sorrow and doubt, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into thy freedom, gladness, and life. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness into thy health, out of my want.
Amen.